91.5 WDBK FM and Camden County College present the CCC President Show with Camden County College's sixth president, Dr. Lavelle Pugh Bassett. It is now time for the CCC President Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of the CCC President Show with Camden County College President, Dr. Lavelle Pugh Bassett. I am your host, Nick Earnshaw. I'm the radio station coordinator here at the college. Dr. Pugh Bassett, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. We're starting this podcast.
This is exciting.
So we're going to be doing this, I think, probably about once a month. We'll put out a new episode, talk to you, find out what's going on around the college. What's your expectation for this podcast? What do you want people to, when they come in to listen, they click on the link, they hear it on the radio, what do you want people to know?
So I would like people to get to know me mm-hmm. more than just my title, right? So I'm hoping that we can have some conversations that are down to earth, that we can talk a little bit about pop culture, about things that are happening around the world, around the campus, and of course, the things that are happening here at CCC.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's the best part, right? We gotta talk about what's going on around Camden County College. But before we talk about all that and get into everything about President Pugh Bassett and getting into some discussions, make sure to follow CCC on all the socials at Camden CC and follow 91.5 WDBK FM at 915 WDBK. All right. Let's get into it. So a couple years ago, you took office here at Camden County College. That was on July 1st, 2022. You became the college's sixth president and first person of color to lead the college in its history. What was that process and experience like? Talk to me. What was it about that entire thing that made you happy, made you smile, and now you're here?
So it was exhilarating. In fact, there are times when I have to pinch myself because I don't even believe I'm in this space, right? So I've been working and engaging with the college in my previous position and then as my position as a board member. So I've been attached to Camden County College for some time. In fact, my husband has started and stopped here and I'm trying to get him back.
So let's do a plug
for back on track. it was overwhelming. I think it was exciting because I think it sparked something in the community with something fresh and something new. Not that we didn't have amazing presidents in the past, but I think it was time for a change and something different. And I think that the college was preparing itself for that moment. And of course, there was the culmination with the installation and all the excitement that happened around that. And that was a really, really fun and exciting time. So it was overwhelming.
Right.
Overwhelming. Yeah.
So talk to me about that. 2022, we're kind of coming out of the pandemic a little bit.
So they said.
Yeah. So what were some of the challenges you felt like you faced when you first stepped into office?
So there were personal and professional challenges.
Right.
The personal challenges, of course, I, like everybody else, was recovering from experiencing a pandemic, right? Trying to figure out how to reconcile what we just experienced and what happened with how I can make a difference for other people. And weaving that into my professional career, now trying to figure out how I'm going to get a college to recover from an entire pandemic after having done that with 45 school districts in my previous position. Now I'm kind of shifting into the students that were probably in those spaces when I was in my previous position.
Right.
Now they're in the space that I'm in right now. Students having dealt with some emotional trauma, mental health trauma, really trying to figure out where students are with their situations, their family situations. Things change so much in the world that we were trying to figure out how Camden County itself could fit into that recovery process.
Right. And I want to talk about kind of your previous experiences leading up to this. Mm-hmm. And how did that help you? You know, you were at the NJ Department of Education for 20 years. You worked at Temple. You worked at the Community College of Philadelphia. How did those other positions prepare you for where you are today?
So I shared with the community that my journey has been cyclical, right? I started with higher education. I dipped into K-12, more than a dip. It was 20-something years. But I dipped
into K-12. It's a little more.
Dipped into K-12 and then came full circle back to higher education. Right. That experience, I think, prepared me. I think the journey was important for preparing me for where I am now. The learnings that I experienced along the way, working with marginalized communities, working with K-12, working with districts and superintendents, and all those feeders into what a community college does and serves, the mission and vision of who we are, that I am now fully poised and prepared to be able to do this work.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really cool to see. And, you know, you have kind of this belief coming into this, a philosophy would say, it's all about service. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to serve your community, and you've been quoted saying service is joy. Tell me what you mean by that and your philosophy for education.
So let me just read the full quote, because right. I think that gives it a little bit of context. I slept and I dreamed that life is all joy. I woke and I saw that life is all service. I served and I saw that service is joy. It really does take me completely from my desire to be able to serve and get fulfillment out of it. It's something that I shared with the community when I went through my interview process and then again in my installation, that this job is service. So I talk to young people all the time and say, if you find a job that you love, it's no longer work, right? I pray that most people can find a career where they don't have to work right. another day in their life, right? So what I believe is that I get to get up and come to work, but not to work, to serve. And everything that I do for the purpose of giving and giving back, and hope that by the time my time is done on this earth, that I've poured everything out and I am completely empty after having given so much to my community.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an awesome quote, an awesome way to look at, you know, the career you're going into. Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking at it as service to mm-hmm. help others. And I think that's fantastic. I try and implement that at some to some extent in my world as well.
Yeah, right. Look at you. You're doing your dream job. I mean,
I love this.
And how this does awesome. It feel? Does it not feel any different? It doesn't feel like you're coming here to labor and serve.
No.
You come here to be able to expand who you are and be able to give back a piece of your experience with other people.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't look at this when I come in every day to the station. Like, this is fun to me. This isn't work at all. Yeah. Like, I know it's a job, but this isn't work. Like, it's so much fun being around so many different people, so many different backgrounds. I just enjoy it, and getting to help others learn how to be on the radio, create content. Yeah. It's just so much fun.
And I think about the fact that there are people who are so unfulfilled in their lives. And some people who are laboring from 9 to 5 and then got to find that fulfillment in service somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe a community service project or agency or something like that. I don't have to do that. It's all bundled up in one beautiful piece of community college.
That is like your 9 to 5, right?
Yes,
your fulfillment is during the day at work. And I kind of share that same type of thing right there. So that's really cool. All right. So talking about your first 2 years, you're coming up on 2 years now. Was there anything that surprised you since you took office, being almost 2 years now?
So I will say that I wasn't surprised in terms of the inner workings of the college, because again, as I shared earlier, I had already been connected. So there was a touch point there already. So even though when you sit in the seat, things look a little different, right? I'm not going to lie. They look a little different. But one of the things that kind of I wasn't expecting was, and you alluded to this earlier, this blowback from having to come over and deal with COVID and the ramifications of that. Because I came in at a time when our 11th and 12th graders were completely online, mm-hmm. and there were students who have not been accustomed to socializing, and students who were kind of isolated and having to deal with issues that were well beyond just issues around education, right? And it was a very interesting experience, because we had a downfall of club participation and student engagement and that kind of thing. So that was kind of one of the first things that I walked into, like, whoa, where are the students?
Where's everyone at, right?
We know that they're in class because we can see enrollment numbers, right? But where are they physically? Because when you come on campus, it didn't look like there was that hustle and bustle. And over time, as we started to do more things to roll out engagement and changing up the spaces and doing some more things to help get students to come and have an affinity toward the college, you started to see students more, and I started to hear from students now saying, wow, I finally get to see and engage with more students. They were going to their cars, and they were just feeling this is what they've been doing for the last 2 years, right?
Yep.
So it was the, you know, that kind of hustle and bustle that I think was missing.
Yeah. And what's kind of been the most challenging part of that, getting students to come back to campus? Because, you know, obviously things have changed. The world has changed with the hybrid type of classes, doing stuff online. What's been the biggest, I guess, challenge in getting them back here?
So I look at getting them back in two different ways. Mm-hmm. I look at getting them back in terms of the actual physical students who want to come back. But let's not forget that the students who were experiencing or needing a hybrid or online right. situation needed it for a reason.
Yep.
So being able to put some protective factors and supports around the students in those areas to be able to keep them in those spaces, but to be able to still stay connected with them so that they can do the things that they needed to do, I think was important. But in terms of getting students back, we had to change what we did. We had yep. to change our approach. We had to change how we felt, how we looked, and be able to engage with students a little bit differently.
Yeah, for sure. And that brings me kind of to the four R's that you've implemented. That is recruitment, retention, reclamation, and realization.
Yes.
How do you believe your goals for the college have been received and executed so far?
So I think that folks struggle to compartmentalize those things. Mm-hmm. I think it was important for us to put them in the appropriate buckets, because when we try to reference what we're doing and coincide it amongst departments and divisions, it was important to be able to name it and be able to see the relationship and the intercollaboration. I think it was received well. It's not any different than what we've been doing. I just mm-hmm. put a name on it, right?
You're right.
And I think that we've done a really nice job at trying to address some of those areas. Now, of course, we step back and we reassess and we take a look at all of our blind spots and try to figure out where we need to do better. Maybe there are things that we needed to take away or add that we hadn't thought about. And we make sure that we put it appropriately in those areas. But we are leading up and tiptoeing into our realization for 2024 with commencement. And I am excited.
I can't wait for commencement. And I'll bring that up right now. Commencement, we've moved that to Freedom Mortgage Pavilion
yes.
now. What went into that decision to move it to Canada? That's a cool little venue there.
So I will say this. I think it was time for us. First of all, there were a number of reasons. I mean, there were some very logistical reasons that we did it. We were, and this is a good reason, the good problem that we had was that we were getting more students to walk, right? And so having more students attend commencement meant that we were having to accommodate more guests
right.
to accompany those students, and we were running out of space, okay? So that's yeah. just the logistical issue.
Well, it's a good spot now to have it there.
But listen now, having it at the pavilion,
yeah.
it gives students an opportunity to be able to walk across the stage, and it's very grand, like a very grand yep. gesture, right? A great opportunity for them to be able to see
yeah.
themselves as superstars in their own stories.
Well, I mean, how many superstars have walked across that stage?
That
I
part,
mean, you know what I mean?
That
That's
part,
pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
That's
I agree.
It's a pretty cool part.
I agree.
Because I'm sure I've attended concerts there a bunch. I'm sure a ton of students will be like, I was on the same stage as
so-and-so, right?
That's
right.
That's, I mean,
right.
that's pretty
right.
cool.
It is. And I'm really excited for the students. It gives them an opportunity to be able to be celebrated
right.
by many, many more people in just a venue that will allow for them to, rain or shine, have a very comfortable and exciting ceremony.
Yeah, because the one part, it's totally covered,
mm-hmm.
and then they have the lawn in the back, so
yeah.
it'll fit tons of
it
people.
Will.
It's going to be exciting.
It
I can't
will.
Wait. I can't wait to be
so
there.
So we want to get more students to walk across that stage.
Yes.
So if you are ready for your celebration, please show up for commencement.
Sign up. You got to do it. I mean,
yes.
If I had that opportunity, that would have been really cool.
You know, I had a conversation with some folks yesterday. The Student Government Association
yeah.
came to me and I asked the question, how do we get more students to walk?
Right.
right. Because the challenge that we have as community colleges is that some students who go on to four-year colleges figure, I'll walk when I get my bachelor's.
Right.
But one thing I want to say to those students is that, listen, your book is a chapter by chapter thing, right?
Yes.
And so let us be the culmination of that chapter that you've experienced here at Camden County College. Let's celebrate it. Students
yeah.
who go straight to 4 years don't get two ceremonies.
Yep.
You do. So
yeah.
come on out to commencement.
I remember the greatest quote is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So
that's
celebrate
right.
each chapter. Celebrate
that's
each
right.
mile marker, right?
That's it.
I mean, that's what you
got
to do. So this is a really cool thing that it's going to be at Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. That's where you're going to walk for commencement. Definitely sign up. Get involved. That's a
Please
cool opportunity.
Do. And don't ever, ever, ever let the barrier of not being able to pay for your cap and gown be a reason
yes.
why you don't walk. We will provide you with any resources and support supports that you need to be able to walk across that stage.
Most definitely. All right. I want to talk a little bit about some of the degrees that students could be walking for this year. I want to talk about the esports degree a little bit. This is kind of a new phenomenon that's come across college campuses over the past few years. Mm-hmm. And now we have an esports degree and also a partnership with Stockton. Tell me how that came about.
So, I mean, you know, we have a lot of programs that serve as pathway programs. Mm-hmm. And esports is no different than any of those programs. It was important for us to have our students understand that there is a pathway, a culmination to this particular degree. Now, most parents are probably like,
video games? Yeah.
Making money off of video, right? So I thought the same thing, I won't lie. But, you know, it is an opportunity for our students to engage in different aspects of production and engaging in some of the engineering that goes into making video games. It's more than just sitting down with the controller.
Yeah, and the controller playing PlayStation or Xbox.
Right, right. And it has exploded as a field and an area of interest that we have to be prepared to train people for. And why not do it at Camden County College? Then partnering with Stockton was just an easy easy connection because they already had the degree pathway. And so that was a natural connection for us.
Yeah. So this is the first degree pathway in the state, right? For esports production. It's so cool. We've already had some conversations with the esports department and, you know, working with them here at the radio station. So that's going to be something cool coming down the line.
Yeah.
Because they broadcast as well. Mm-hmm. We're a broadcast station, so
that's
why
right.
not?
That's
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
And listen, we're also pushing down to K-12, making sure that we make connections with students in middle school and high school to be able to be exposed to what we have at our esports arena. Listen, if you have not come
to see
the esports arena, it is a thing to behold.
Oh, I got to pause the conversation. That place is fantastic.
Isn't it?
It's so cool. I visited a handful of times already since I've been here at the college. Like, it is amazing what's going on over there. And the South Jersey Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool as well.
Yes.
Everything going on.
And
over
I'm
there.
No gamer, but it is really cool.
It makes you want to hop on, right? And play some Madden
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's been great. Sean and Dave, they do a great
they
job
do.
Over there.
They
so
do. They
that's
do.
Pretty cool. All right. I got to talk about our radio station here.
Let's talk about it.
Finally revamped. It has been awesome. I mean, what went in to finally getting the new equipment needed for the radio station to kind of bring itself back?
So, we've been down for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been dealing with antiquated equipment for some time. Mm-hmm. It was just time to kind of move into the 21st century. But, you know, just really try to modernize, mm-hmm. you know, what we do and who we are. And then, of course, using the radio station as a vehicle to disseminate information to the campus,
right.
to our faculty, get our students engaged in something exciting. Listen, being a college student is not just about sitting in a classroom.
Nope.
It's important for you to get hands-on experiences and nurture your passions. We have students who love this work.
Yeah.
Why not give them an opportunity to do it?
And so I've learned. And it's funny, the day we started recording this, I had a conversation with a student about getting involved on campus. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, yeah, you can go to class, you can have a 3.0 and a 3.5, 4.0 GPA, but if you're not involved, that's something employers are going to want to look for too.
It is. Let's face it, a college experience is mm-hmm. just that. It's an experience. And I think it's our responsibility as administrators to ensure that those experiences are available to our students.
Yeah, most definitely. And I got to move along here. So I got to talk to you about kind of the school overall itself. How do you see the vision of the future of Camden County College progressing over the next few years?
I think that for us, it's important for us to be able to catch up and keep up. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, serve as a trailblazer in many areas for our students. There are so many areas that we are trying to prepare our students for that don't even exist.
Right.
As of yet. And that's a very challenging thing. Like, how do you prepare a student to go into a major, an area of interest that hasn't even been created?
It's challenging, but it's exciting.
It is exciting. And I think that for us, this whole idea of student engagement, I think, is very, very critical, because I think that we are preparing ourselves to create ambassadors for the college, right? We are preparing students who can go on to their next step, right? They're mm-hmm. going to
right.
college or going to career or industry or whatever, and they can speak on behalf of the college without us having to invest in that
right.
so much. We can kind of shift and do something different. So I'm really excited about the opportunity for us to do things that are different. We're opening up a cosmetology program in Camden City. We're doing a lot. And what I'm hoping is that we create more tentacles in the communities that host us so that we can become so interconnected that we're not seen as separate from the community. We're just a part of it.
Yeah, we're one big kind of family here in the community for sure. All right. So if you had one message for prospective students as well as current students, what would that be going forward?
Let me think. My message for current students is to look at Camden County College as an opportunity for either placing a period or a comma in your life journey. So for those of those students who just want to come here for the associate's degree, come here for the career pathway, whatever it is, so that they can move into something that they'll be doing for life, then let us be your period.
Right.
But for those who are looking to do something on top of where we are now, let us be the comma or the semicolon. We are happy to be a footnote in your life's journey. For those prospective students, I would say that they should consider the affordability of Camden County College, as that they consider the diversity of Camden County College. Listen, there is no place else where you can sit in a classroom with someone two and three generations older or younger than you and learn together.
Yeah.
So this is a really, this environment is fertile for learning in a diverse atmosphere. So consider that, consider all the amazing majors and areas where you can explore and nurture your passions. And we're doing a lot over here at CCC. And that's one of the things that we're gonna be working on more, trying to really get the word out about all the amazing programs that we have here at the college.
Yeah, there's so much going on around campus, even just working on like PSAs for the station. I'm like, oh my goodness, how many do we have?
Yeah.
We have so many. So there's so much going on here at the college, which is
really
fun.
What would you
really
say as an alum? Because you are a product of CCC.
I am. I mean, listen, I figured, like, I got here and like I kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do yet. And, you know, just being in the classroom, figuring out all the different opportunities and things to do around campus.
Yeah.
I was an athlete here. I was part of the radio station.
Yeah.
I got involved, and that made me want to come to school much more. So I think just being involved in so many different things as an alum, and now look, I'm back because I loved it so much.
Yes.
So,
and here we are. Yeah,
exactly. Look at it.
Back home. Welcome back.
I love it here. So just get involved. I think that's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
As someone who went through it already, just be involved as much as you can and try different things.
Yeah.
It does not hurt to try. And if you don't like it, try something else. That's just my kind of thing. That's what I would go with.
I agree.
All right. Before we wrap up, I know you're a sports fan. We got to talk about this. All right. We got to talk about one of the biggest stories in sports right now.
Okay.
Caitlin Clark.
Oh, Caitlin.
Number one pick for the Indiana Fever. I got to say, what she's been doing has been unreal.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what does this mean for women's sports as a whole?
So I have so many different opinions about this situation. Caitlin Clark is an amazing athlete in and of herself. There are other amazing athletes out there as well. The conversation as of late, in fact, I was just watching something yesterday about the disparity in salary and earnings for women's basketball. I think it's important for, first of all, I'm excited about the fact that it's a platform.
Yeah.
People are talking about it. People are watching. I talked to so many people who are watching the draft, which shocked me because
it's the highest rated draft ever for the WNBA.
They don't even know what the draft is, right?
Yeah.
So people are just watching because they just want to see how they fall. So I think that this is a great time. The momentum is shifting for women in sports and in many other areas. Hey, it's shifting for women as presidents at colleges. But I think that this is an exciting time.
Yeah.
Caitlin, I wish her the absolute best, and all the folks that are also in the mix when it comes to their amazing achievements. Ambassador Dawn Staley,
she's awesome.
Shout out to Philadelphia.
Philly needs a WNBA
absolutely.
Team at some point.
Yes.
She needs to coach it too.
Yeah, I mean, she's just a force to be reckoned with. But yeah, it's an exciting time. And I really, you know, hope that folks get more involved in that. In fact, I would love to, you know, have folks come out and support our athletes.
Yeah.
Just put a little plug there. We got women's basketball. They did a great job and they had a great run in season as well. But yeah, I think it's an amazing time. It's exciting to be able to have women's basketball put on the same platform in terms of the intensity and the rigor and just the style of basketball in and of itself. It is definitely worth watching and following.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see what she's been able to do, and all the people that have been talking about generating a conversation around women's basketball.
And I think
for sure.
that what one of the things that came out, one of the takeaways from the program I was watching, was that if we are really hardcore supportive of fixing that disparity, we need to be able to support women's basketball in many other ways. Buy the tickets, get the merch, make sure that you make it a platform that can pay their players more than they're paying now.
Yeah, support the come up of women's athletes, like through high school, through college, et cetera. So that would be fantastic. All right, one more question. Sixers, they're in the playoffs again. Are they going to do it this year? Joel Embiid's healthy.
I know. Let's see how they decide. Listen, I think that it's a great team. And you know what I love about it is that folks, even if they try to look at tape, they haven't seen tape with this mix, right? They don't know exactly how they're going to have some kind of, what kind of synergy they're going to have.
Are they going to mash? What's the chemistry going
to
be like?
But they, you know, so you won't be able to stop it off the bat. So I'm listen, let's get through, you know, the first round where they can't figure it out, and then, you know, see where we go from there. But go Sixers. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, as a sports fan, would you rather be at the game or would you rather watch on TV?
So I'm going to say this. Going to a game in person, well, I've been to many Sixers games. Went to my first Eagles game last year. It was on my bucket list.
It was your first one?
It was my first one, because I do prefer to actually watch the game.
I'm with you.
The football game.
Football
on TV.
Basketball,
I think, is different. Yep. Now, listen, if you luck out and get a good section watching the Eagles, then maybe you can enjoy the game. But if you have some, you know, folks around you that are going to mess it up.
700 level type stuff.
But I did enjoy. We had great seats. We were pretty close. But you see it different. It's a whole
different
experience.
Atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. So I do prefer. When it comes to football, I want to be home. I need to be on top of my television yelling at the coach and the players as if they can hear me, right?
Yeah,
I need that.
Can hear you.
Absolutely.
They know what you're saying. Listen
Why
to me.
and then, you know, be able to engage and see it right on top of the place.
Right.
It's so different, because I remember being in the stadium and I'm saying, what happened? Why did we stop?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Commercial. TV timeout.
Yeah. So, I do enjoy watching it at home. But I am a diehard sports fan.
Yeah, I visited Madison Square Garden for the first time a couple weeks ago, so that was pretty cool. I had my Sixer stuff on, too.
Well, that's my hometown, so I've been to Madison Square Garden.
Awesome.
I used to be a Knicks fan until I got married, saved my marriage by turning and shifting to Philadelphia.
Well, we're glad we have you over here, because Sixers, they possibly could play the Knicks.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
All right. Dr. Pew Bassett, thank you so much for
sitting down.
First episode in the books.
Yay.
I think it went pretty well.
We did it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for sitting down with us for the first episode of the CCC President Show. Make sure to listen wherever you get your podcast, as well on 91.5 WDBK FM. I am Nick Earnshaw signing off.
You've been listening to the CCC President Show right here on 91.5 WDBK FM, and it is also podcasted online where you can listen back as well.